Amen. Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I have to give a forewarning that I was raised in the black church. And Greg, we make a little bit more noise than... So one of the things you need to be aware is that as I preach, I always occasionally like to hear an amen or two. And if I don't get that amen, generally I'll just keep raising that point. So it would be helpful if we are going to get out here on time to hear a few amens tonight. Thank you. I want to say a word of congratulations to those of you members of St. Stephen United Methodist Church for your witness over the last 50 years. It is an exciting time, and Greg, thank you for inviting me and to share in worship with you this morning. I want to see the hands of those who were here 50 years ago. If you're here, raise your hand. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Called to Be Faithful. Called to Be Faithful. And I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let anyone with ears listen." Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. It's a day like no other day. It's one in which we give witness and celebrate to your presence here and for the witness over these last 50 years of this congregation. Lord, we confess that we know that witness has not always been easy. There were ups and downs. But Lord, you have been faithful, and you've carried, and you've encouraged, and you've pushed. So help us, O Lord, now to give witness to what it means to be faithful to your calling upon our lives, giving you the praise and the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have you ever tried to copy someone in terms of doing something and discovered that you didn't quite get the same results that the other person did? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll find that there are times in which we see what kind of results someone else gets, and so you try to do it the same way, hoping that you're going to get the same results. But then you discover that it doesn't work that way, does it? I'll tell you, when I first started preaching, my dad is a United Methodist pastor, and so one of the things when I was a youngster in church and I kept hearing him preach, I wanted to copy those things that enabled me to get my attention when he would preach. And so one of the things, I would sit in church, and you know, it was a long, long service, and he seemed to get long-winded, and I would kind of go to sleep when I was a kid. But I remember there was one
one thing that he would do, Freddie, and that was whenever he would make a point and he'd get passionate about the sermon, he would do what I call the Bledsoe kick. Now, you got to understand the Bledsoe kick. He would take that foot and he would plant it out like that, and he'd plant it down, and I would wake up and say, "Oh, that's so neat." And so when I was called to preach, I decided I was going to do the same thing. And so the first time I was preaching a sermon on the book of Revelation, and I tried to do the Bledsoe kick, but it just didn't work that way. It didn't come out the way in which it did for my father. And I discovered then is that you can do things the same way, just like someone else, but you get different results. How many of you all have raised children? Yeah. You can give them the same advice. You can provide the same home. You can give them the same amount of deal, but they turn out different. Amen.
Amen.
They each are different. And you know, in our day and age, we're living in a world where persons want to maximize. They want to make sure that, you know, their kid is the smartest. And so they've got DNA enhancers, and we try to pick and choose all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you, because we need to be faithful to that which God has called us to do and not for the results of it. Amen. You know, in many of our times, just this last summer, I had my grandkids and we were fishing, and I was going to teach them how to fish. And so we were down on Lake Conroe, and I went out and bought the bait. I bought everybody the same reel. And we went out there. One of my little grandsons, he'd never fished before in his life. The other one, he had thought he could fish, and of course, I was the expert. I was going to show him how to catch the fish. And we were out there just fishing, and guess who caught the most fish? You want to guess? Come on, you can talk back. Yeah, never fished before, Diane. Never fished before. And I wondered, you know, we use the same bait. We were fishing in the same waters. We had the same kind of reel. Why did he catch all the fish and I never caught any? Well, you might call it luck. But let me tell you, there's something about our lives that when we are faithful to that which God had called us to do, I love to fish. And you know what? In order to be able to get fish, you got to keep on fishing. Amen?
Amen?
You'll never be able to catch fish if you live out of, you don't do the fishing, if you don't get out there and fish. So sometimes God calls us to do certain things, and you just have to be faithful to that and let the results take care of themselves. In our scripture reading for this morning, Jesus talks about a parable of the sower. And unlike most parables in which Jesus gave, this one seems to explain itself. If you continued reading on in Matthew chapter 13, you'll find that those disciples began to ask Jesus, "What are you talking about? Jesus, explain to us the parable." The sower. A sower went out to sow. We could understand the seed being the word of God. And then there were those who did not believe. And so then nothing ever sprung up from that. And then there were those who did believe. And all of a sudden they got choked out. And then there were those who believed. And all of a sudden the word just blossomed. Now, you know, most preachers, when we hear that explanation, we'll just say, well, all we have to do is see that parable in its contemporary setting, and then we'd let you go home. But I want us to take a second look. I want us to be able to look at this parable again in a much more exegetical way, because I think if you'll look in terms of this parable, it has implications for our ministry in the 21st century that is so bent on trying to focus on results and not being faithful to the call of God. And we start out with looking at a field in Palestine. You see, at one time, the earth and land in Palestine was under the Mediterranean Sea. And as those dead sea animals and other sea urchins began to die, they settled to the bottom and they formed what is known as a limestone base. And so as the waters began to recede and the land began to come forth, there was this soil that would come out. But if you've ever been to the Holy Land or the Middle East, you'll know that it's rocky ground. Amen, Greg? There's this land, this field that looks like it might be a good field, but in and out of that field is this limestone rock. And so when a sower would go out to sow that seed, that sower would just take a big bag and they would take the seed and they'd throw it out there. And some of the seeds would fall on those stones and those rocks. Some of the seeds, what looked like was good soil, was only shallow soil. And then some of the seed would fall into good soil and would take root and come up. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time in the way in which we've understood God in our lives, in the way in which sometimes our Western culture and society somehow shifts and tells us, we would want to calculate where to put that seed. Amen? We wouldn't want to waste that seed on anything other than that. But that's not what the sower does. The sower just throws the seed out. And then in Matthew's gospel, it says that the crop that was produced, some was 100-fold, some was 60-fold, some was 30-fold. Now, this particular parable comes in all three of the synoptic gospels. But it's only in Matthew's gospel, if you read story, that Matthew reverses the yield. All of the other gospel writers increases it, and so you get this understanding that somehow we're supposed to do and calculate in terms of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, but in Matthew's gospel, he reverses it, and everyone would ask, well, why would he reverse that? Because he put the emphasis on something other than the results. Now the question is, what in the life situation of Jesus might Matthew have understood Jesus to be saying to those disciples when they began to go forth and sow the word of God among the people? Well, you will remember earlier in the gospel, he sent them out to be able to say that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to be able to share the word of God. Now, no doubt, and you got to understand, in my tradition, we always have in the mind's eye. In other words, we can imagine certain things, but no doubt when they came back, some of them had good results. Some of them had bad results. Can you imagine folks coming in and saying, you know, old Peter got 100 folk who believed Jesus Christ. Nathaniel only got 50. James only got 2. You know, what was wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with my way of doing? We used the same message. We went out with the same power. We had the same set of values in terms of what we were doing, but the results were so different. And Jesus began to speak to the life situation at that time. And he said, even in the best of conditions, the results are going to be different, church. You're not responsible for the results. You've only been called to make sure you sow the word and are faithful to the sowing. And you know, many times in our lives, and I don't know about you, but in the church, sometimes we are called upon to sow seeds of service and to be able to be involved, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or teaching a youth group, being able to kind of make coffee on Sunday mornings. And so many times we might say, well, you know, people don't always appreciate me for what I'm doing. Or you might say, well, I don't get the same kind of recognition that somebody else does because they're more visible. But let me tell you, listen, it's in the call and the commitment and being faithful to that which God has called you to do that enables ministry to take place in our very midst. Now, I learned that years ago when I was in seminary. In fact, a friend of mine who was one of the best preachers in all of seminary at Perkins School of Theology, and we thought that, man, he's going to get a big church because he can preach. And I remember he went down to Houston, Dwight, and he was assigned to a church, and it only had 25 members. And I thought, well, man, I got to call him. I got to encourage him. He should be preaching to thousands of folk. And so I called him up and I said, well, tell me how it's going. He said, well, when I got there, he said there were 25 members in one of these transitional churches and it was dying. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, I preached. And I said, what happened? He said, well, the next Sunday when I came back, I looked through the window and there was only 12 that was there. And I say, what did you do? He said, I preached. He said, and I kept on preaching, and I kept on preaching. I never let the crowd determine whether I preached this way or that. He said, I was just faithful because God had called me to preach the gospel. And so he kept on preaching. And when the church reached 1,000 members, he kept on preaching. When the church reached 3,000 members, he kept on preaching. When it reached 10,000 members, he kept on preaching. When it reached 15,000 members, he kept on preaching. Kirby John Caldwell of the Windsor Village United Methodist Church in Houston, Texas, he preached the same gospel whether there was 25 or 15,000 because he was faithful to that which God had called him to do. He didn't try to copy somebody else to do just to be able to get the numbers up. You know, the great artist Vincent van Gogh of the 19th century is said to have drawn over 700 drawings and 800 oil paintings. But in his lifetime, his whole lifetime, never only sold one painting. What if Van Gogh had painted or drew based upon sales? You and I would have lost and never would have been able to hear and be able to witness what it means to be able to witness an artist gave of his life. But the thing is he understood that God had called him to be an artist, and that's what he did. You know, one of the stories, preacher story, I mean, you're going to hear preachers tell lots of stories, but one of the preacher stories is a true story, but it was told years ago by an individual named H.L.G. And he talks about being a member of a church in which it gotten old, and the membership had gotten old, and there was an individual in that church by the name of Thomas, and they called him Old Thomas because he got old. And Thomas had outlived all of his other colleagues and every other person who had come to faith within that church. And so all of a sudden, Thomas died. And G said, and I knew that with those young families and other persons coming in, nobody would come for Thomas's funeral. He said, and so I went, and when he got to the funeral, sure enough, no one came. But when they took him to the cemetery to be buried, he noticed that standing at the gate, and as the hearse went through the cemetery, he noticed that it was an individual, an officer, a soldier, who sat there and saluted that hearse as old Thomas rolled by. It was a rainy, dreary, cold day. And in fact, G said that he could not see what the rank of the individual was who had done that salute, but he could tell that he was an officer. And so as they got closer and they had put Thomas in the ground, and as they were walking back, he noticed that the wind kind of blew open the raincoat of that officer, and he noticed that officer was a brigadier general. And the general said these words, I know you're probably wondering why I'm here today. And you may have questions about why it is that I would come and be here to be able to pay last respects to Thomas. He said, but you need to know that Thomas was my Sunday school teacher. And when I was a wild, rebellious, wayward child, Thomas was the one that told me about the love of God and introduced me to a person by the name of Jesus Christ. He said, at the time, I didn't want to hear it. I wrote it all off. But as I started living my life and I went through the ups and downs, I realized that it was Thomas that had enabled the witness and the word to be made known within my life. He said, and I owe everything to him. And I just wanted to come and say thank you, my last respects. Let me tell you, church, St. Stephen has been sowing seeds 50 years. I know sowing those seeds, you probably tempted to be able to want to put it in good soil. Or maybe want to calculate in terms of who you invite and who you don't invite. I want to encourage you that in terms of the Word of God, God's Word and God's love goes out to all people. And so when you get ready to sow that Word, that you'll begin to realize that you never know where that word is going to come forth. You never know what kind of results it's going to do. But you sow. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Because mature Christians understand that not all the seeds that they sow will reach maturity. But they also know if you're faithful to the sowing, God is the one that gives the increase, church. And so I want to encourage you these next 50 years to keep sowing. And when you don't get the results that you think you ought to get, don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. You're not responsible for the results. God is. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Been listening to a sermon copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.